Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode, the first in a little while, of Ear to Ear Podcast with C-Ray and Lanny Mo. We all know each other by now. I'm C-Ray. That's Lanny Mo over there. Lanny Mo, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good, my man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Fresh off a couple-week vacation. I apologize to all our few hundred fans that we have out there. You know, my wife made me go on vacation. It was the wife. She made me do it. Spent a couple weeks in Europe. I leave the country for 2 weeks, and the freaking defensive coordinator is fired. Nico's the starting quarterback. Billboards are going up all over the city. Indiana's 10-0 for the first time in their history. Like, what the hell's going on, man? Like, what? I should have stayed over there. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
And we got a new president that was the old president.
Of the nation. A lot of stuff. You know, I came back to quite a different situation, man. But WVU getting a win over Cincy this week, 31-24. Nico Mazzarelli as Pat McAfee. I don't know if you've seen that. Pat McAfee, you've been calling him that. I'm Nico Mazzarelli or something like that. 9-15, 156 yards, one touchdown, one rushing touchdown, accounting for both of our offensive touchdowns this weekend. And nothing spectacular on the ground, really. Jaheim White was our leading rusher, 64 yards and 13 carries. As we get back into things here, Lanny, let's just go from there, man. What'd you think? You went to Cincinnati. Tell us about your trip up there and what you thought of the game.
I'm going to tell Mountaineer Nation right now and anybody that listens to this, if you do not go to Cincinnati in 2 years when we play them again up there, you are missing out. Great time, great atmosphere. The campus is absolutely it's amazing. It's great. I mean, it's not a downtown Cincinnati campus. It's like 15 minutes away from downtown is where their campus is. But everything's very close together. The way their facilities are, it's amazing. I thought got lost going into the football stadium because for some reason I followed the entrance and it took me into the basketball facility, and I thought they scanned my ticket wrong, and I was there for a female basketball game. I don't know what the hell was happening. We walked through, like, we're taking, like, a weird tour, and it walks through the basketball facility, which is nice. It is very, very nice. You walk through that, then we pop out that joker on the other side, and there's, like, concession stands outside, and then I went into my seats. Phenomenal. The facilities are great. The people were not nasty till later on after the game. But anyway, that happens. I mean, what are they going to – we can't it's not a rivalry with them. I mean, well, I talked to 100 other fans, and, you know, there's West Virginia and Cincinnati. There is no rivalry there because even we talk Big East days and stuff and hugs – They love hugs, just like every West Virginia fan, for the person that he is, loves hugs. And we had that connection, and they like bars, and I like that connection. And great atmosphere, great game. Got out of there with a W, and that's all that really mattered to me. It was a bonus for my trip. And, from Morgantown, 4.5-hour trip. It was great. If you don't go, and I don't know where you are, but if you don't go to Cincinnati, you're missing out. It's a very, very good trip.
Nice. So, good deal, man. Good deal. I'm glad you had fun. Glad you enjoyed it up there. After two weeks crossing the great continent of Europe, I was not about to take off up to Cincinnati the day after getting back, but glad you got to go and enjoy it. But on to some other, on to the more important thing, the game itself. You know, it was always glad to see us get a win, always glad to get a W. I have a lot of up and down feelings about it, and a lot of my feelings it doesn't really change much for me. But Lanny, set us off here, fire off on Cincy. What do you think? What'd you like? What'd you not like?
Cincy controlled they controlled the game. They did what they wanted offensively. We could not stop their quarterback whenever he decided to actually run vertically upfield. He was a problem all day. Couple blown coverages still. I mean, we give up a 80-yard touchdown pass on a damn wheel route.
Anybody in that guy's area code.
Yeah. And but it seemed when he had time to throw, it was the same old kind of, you know, 7-yard turnaround open, 8-yard open. Yeah. All day. I mean, they were 3rd and 2. It seemed like it was all day long. But I don't know if it was Coons drawing up a little more, gambling a little more. We saw some safety blitzes. We saw pressure. And pressure is what honestly won that game for us.
Yeah, you're right. I think pressure – we did get good pressure on him, and
– he made dumbass decisions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So. It's always good to get a W, but everyone's like, yeah, look at the defense. No, not look at the defense, man, because we'll get into the stats that the defense gave up here in a minute. We did get pressure on him, but he made some stupid decisions. I mean, the kid
– But kid pressure
out.
Pressure caused it. So
pressure caused it. That's right. But you know, I think most quarterbacks in his situation clam up and take the sack, which is what he should have done. If he clams up and takes the sacks instead of trying to pitch those balls out of there, we lose that game. That's the only reason we won is because he freaks out under pressure, tried to get rid of the ball to the first person he saw. And I mean, you can't do that when you're in the middle of being tackled, man. You just got to take the ball. You got to take the loss on yours. You know, you just got to take that. But nonetheless, you know, it was good to see a good amount of pressure. You know, I think we had a lot of guys in the backfield a lot of the day.
Yeah. West Virginia play calling, I don't think it was bad. We saw some wrinkles that we haven't seen before. As far as the screen game, there was a lot of, it was keep Nico, honest in a way. Don't let him try to, they didn't overfeed him too much. With like, I don't know the exact when he threw deep, he threw the deep ball very well for the 3 or 4 times that he actually took shots, they hit it. A couple, like I never saw Hudson Clement in the game, so I don't know.
I think he was injured, wasn't he?
I think so because I never saw him. But they had some things completely drawn up just to get the ball in Nicole Taylor's hands,
right.
I know that there was at least 3-4 plays that was called just for him. The action went away and came back. It was like, we're going to lean everything left and then came back to the right. And then Nico throws his favorite pass, I swear, is an 8-yard slant. And that's what he threw the touchdown on. It was money. It was absolutely money. He missed a couple in the beginning. You know,
he looked like in the beginning to me looked like he was pumped with adrenaline. Like the whole first half, he looked uncomfortable in the first half. And it was like most of the first half.
Something else too. He reached for about 4 snaps. Also,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to call them bad snaps.
Well, they were higher than they should have been,
but they were not good snaps,
right?
Yeah. And I know on 2 of those it affected the play. Because the one when he went here, the running back, it was going to be a fake, it was a fake. But by the time he faked it, the running back was already. It wasn't. It didn't matter. Didn't fake nobody else out.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah.
I was waiting at any time. The point that I want to get across is, Preston Fox went off. Man, that kid went off. He went off on punt return. He went off on kick return. Our special teams, when we needed a punt, I think he pinned them inside their own 15 like 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, our special teams was lights out Austin. Awesome with it, Austin. Yeah, I'm used to it, Austin. But Preston Fox, he caught a fair catch, and it did. It looked like he bobbled it, but he actually got
he got clipped.
He got clipped. And if you're saying it, you know, people I heard other, you know, people talking like that, you know, they complained about, you know, Preston Fox. Remember the Holgorsen days? It got to the point we didn't even put nobody back there. No one was even back there to return a punt.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got to get the kid when he walks. I mean, he makes a clanking noise because there was two or three that I'm talking that he was getting barreled down on. And I mean, he caught the ball, he did his job. And then like two of them, he actually, I'm talking 15, 20 yard.
Got some yards on it.
Got some yardage on it.
Yeah.
And then the kickoff return, they cut it down to a, I think it was like a 10 point lead. And he catches that at the goal line, brings it clear out to the 50. Then we shit the bed after that on that drive. But we end up punting it down into their 10, which then we've kind of flipped the field. And that's whenever we hit their quarterback and the ball went sideways. It did not go forward. Never did go forward. It was a fumble or a backwards pass. Backwards pass. And then, it's not our fault that our guy picks it up and continues to play whenever your dumbass could have jumped on it. And he stood there looking at it like it was a snake. But, and that was a smart play on our guy. You play till the whistle's done,
Yeah.
But, that's my briefing of the game.
All right. Well done. jumping back a little bit to the Arizona game, I obviously was out of the country and did not know that you cannot watch your ESPN app outside of the United States. So, I got over there. We got into the land of pasta and pizza. And, I'm sitting there Saturday night. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning over there when the game kicked off. And I'm like, I'm going to still watch it. ESPN app pulled up like, no, you're not. You're out of the country. But I did keep up with the play by play, the box score, and all that stuff. So the reason I bring up the Arizona game is because something that concerned me about the Arizona game and this game is two games in a row now we've gone into, I'd say, the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter with commanding leads.
Yes.
And then we've had to kind of pucker our asses a little bit and try to squeak out the win. And I find that to be like, if we were playing good teams with that kind of lead and we let up like that, we're going to lose. we're looking at the last 5.5 years of history. If we're playing a good team, we're going to lose anyway because, Neil Brown. But I don't like that we're up so much. And I don't know if the guys are taking plays off. I don't know if what the deal is and why it's happening. But the last two games having such big leads.
It's staff. I'm telling you what, right now, that defense – went prevent.
And we do that. We got to quit doing that.
He did. Except for whenever they got the opportunity, I'm saying they mixed in a little bit, but it was, I was waiting for that to go down to a 3-point ball game.
Oh yeah.
I really was. And their fans, it was like, I hate when our fans leave early, but with 6 minutes left in that game, it was like somebody pulled the damn firearm in that place, and they're leaving. And I said, don't leave. I'm yelling at their fans not to leave because you might see some craziness go down right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, it's over. And I said, you don't know us. You don't know what we're capable of doing.
They clearly have not watched very much of the Neil Brown era.
We will show you how to lose a game.
That's
in
right.
6 minutes. I'm just telling you that.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't a huge fan of the play calling. I didn't think it was good, but I didn't think it was bad. It was just kind of blah. It was just kind of there.
It was blah.
Again, the defense, looked a little better as far as getting pressure. But, man, since he's quarterback, gifted us that game. That's just all there is to it. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to take anything away from the defense. And the reason why is because when you break it down into, okay, if you take those two plays away where their quarterback freaked out under the pressure, tried to pitch those balls out of there, gave us the interception and the fumble recovery. When you take those two plays out of the game, A, we lose. B, that leaves you with the yardages and the rest of the stats, which was 436 total yards of offense that we gave up, okay? 157 of it on the ground to our 98 on the ground, 279 in the air. So did the defense really play better, or was it more of like, hey, we got a little bit of pressure and we had some guys in the right place at the right time? That, I'll give credit to, hey, those mistakes came from him because we pressured. But I think if it was most other quarterbacks that are more experienced and are, a little more have a little bit better of a football IQ, they're clamming up and they're taking that sack, and those turnovers aren't happening. But, you know, it is what it is. Still got the W, which is always a good thing. Nico, I didn't think he looked great in the first half. It looked like he was just kind of jumpy and not – he just was – I don't know. Maybe it was adrenaline. Maybe he was nervous. It's like he needed to calm down a little bit. Mm-hmm. In the second half, he looked way better. I mean, the second half, man, he calmed down. He drops those dimes at 40 yards and 54 yards through that nice slant dart into the end zone. You know, he looked a lot better in the second half. You know, and a lot of people that know me know I'm an Eco fan. It doesn't mean I'm anti-green. I think I've gotten to be this year because it's just we've seen what he's a fifth-year quarterback, a fifth-year senior, and we've seen what we've seen. And everyone's comparing Nico's stats to Green's. And it's like, well, first off, Nico's got like, what, 5 games under his belt versus however many Green has. And second, if you look back through the attempts, everyone talks about the yardages. Why Green's so much better? Because he's just as good a passer. Look at all his yardages. Green's taken between 25 and 35 passes a game. Nico's taken like 15 to 20. So there's a lot of things there that I think people need to dissect a little more before they just try to compare two very different quarterbacks. But
I'll do a comparison.
Oh, shit, what?
Nico wins. The kid hasn't lost. He wins.
Yeah. Hey,
whenever he's had to go in, whenever Green's got hurt, what has he done? Outcome, win. You start him, what's he do? Win. Nico is a winner. Play like trash. Defense does whatever. I'm not saying that he's the best quarterback and he's better than Green. I'm not saying it. The kid, hey, just like Cignetti at Indiana, Google me. Nico can say, I win.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that because when I put on
the number 8 that says mozzarella on the back, there's a W going up in the column the next day. So that's what he can say.
And it's bittersweet for me, and I'm going to tell you why. I love seeing him come in. I love seeing him win. But he's going to save Neil Brown's job, and we're going to be stuck in purgatory for another year, and that's unfortunate.
And I'm good with that.
I mean, you're good with that. Why? Why are you good with that?
Because I don't think anybody can come in here, recruit who we recruit even better, and get substantial 9 wins. This fool's going to mess around and win 8, and everybody's going to bitch about it. Or, you know, he's going to win 7 in a bowl game. We're going to beat Baylor. We're going to beat UCF.
Are we going to beat Baylor? Are you 100% sure we're going to beat Baylor?
I'm 1,000% sure we're going to beat Baylor.
What makes you think? Let me ask you something. With Neil Brown as our coach, what gives you 1,000% that we can win any game?
Because Baylor is basically WVU in Texas location, and team for team, we are better than Baylor, and we got them at home, and I believe that.
Okay.
Player for player, we're the same. We are the same.
Except.
Okay.
Their quarterback. Okay. Their quarterback, don't get me wrong, he's not any kind of world beater that is, lighting things up. But Sawyer Robertson, okay, is good against bad defenses. And he has a lot more touchdowns and a lot less picks than Green does. And our secondary is going to probably keep that up from him. Now, I think the question is going to be, can our offense keep up with their offense? And I'm not saying it's going to be any kind of Big 12 shootout like the very first time we played them in the very first Big 12 game, which was a lot of fun. It's going to be on our offense to try and keep up.
I'm not saying we're going to beat on them.
No.
I say we
beat them. You're thinking we get the win.
Yeah,
I don't know that we do, and it's like I said, it's like I said on our roundtable with the beard this past week. You know that I gave your little thoughts to Beard. You know, he said, yeah, Atlanta is forever the optimist, isn't he? I said, yes, he's the optimist. I'm the realist.
I am.
But it's like I said, it's like I told him, Cincinnati was the only game left on the schedule that I give us more than a 50% chance to win. Glad we got it. Baylor and UCF, 50-50s to me. I could see us losing to Baylor. just because our secondary is not good and their quarterback is good against bad defenses. Now, the thing I think that helps with that is their offensive line is not fantastic. He's been sacked 8 times, and their leading rusher is averaging like 65 yards a game. So I don't think their offensive line is any kind of world beaters, and that might help keep our secondary out of trouble a little bit. But if their offensive line can perform and keep our defensive line from collapsing the pocket on him, I think it might be a long day for the secondary.
Can he run?
He's not really.
If he can't run, it's gonna be a long day for him.
I mean,
because I'm telling you, our D line is pressuring. You know, I still don't know exactly who the hell plays our. It's a no name D line. You know,
he can scramble and keep a pass play alive, but I don't think as far as running, I don't think that he has a whole lot.
He's gonna run for his life on Saturday. I'm telling you that much.
So he's got 257 rush yards on the year, but
that's not enough.
No, but he does have 4 rushing touchdowns. So
those could be 1 yard.
Those
could be all tush pushes.
It just means in the red zone that he's good at getting in the end zone. If we can keep him out of the red zone, it's all the better. But I don't know. Like I don't think it's going to be any kind of stomping one way or the other. I think it's going to be a closer game. But I mean, I think we can get the win. I just don't know if we will get the win. I don't know how you can sit down with everything we've seen and say yes or no definitively one way or the other. The only time I feel comfortable saying 100% no is if the team is ranked. If I were a gambling man, anytime we play a team with a number beside their name, I'm betting on that team all day.
Well,
we're 3-18 against ranked
teams, and the ones we play next, they don't have that ranking. It's a W. It's a W. We're playing somebody that's not ranked. We beat bad teams. We play 3 bad teams.
We play 2 bad teams and a decent team. Texas Tech is not a bad team, but they're also not like
we can't beat Texas. We will not beat Texas Tech.
Exactly. No. Right now it's looking like let's assume we beat Baylor and UCF.
Yep.
We're finishing at 7-5.
And you're going bowling.
And we're going bowling.
And you're going to play a bowl team that's not been ranked. And you're it's what's going to happen. And you're playing a bad team that's also going to be 6-6 probably. And 7-5. And you're playing a bad team. And we're going to win our bowl game because we play a bad team. Great. So, and that's what we do. That's what Neil Brown does. So you're paying him $4 million a year. We can go down this road that you know I live on, and let's go. And Neil Brown's going to fool around, win 8 games, and everybody's going to come with the pitchforks to fire Neil Brown, and let's go pay a coach $8 million. Let's go get this guy for $7, $8 million, and that fool will come here, and he'll win 8 games, and everybody's going to say, worth every penny because he won 8.
Well, Neil Brown did too. Well, yeah, but let's see now. That depends, though. Are you winning 8 games against ranked teams to where you're setting yourself up to be in the conference championship game? Or are you winning 8 teams against crap teams or 8 games against crap teams?
It's
going to keep you out of it. It's not 8. Guess what? We won 8 games last year, and not a single team we beat last year was above 500 except one. One team we beat was 7-6.
Well, we won 9.
I'm talking about regular season.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the regular season that puts you to the conference championship game.
Yeah.
And the same thing's happening this year. We haven't beat anybody decent. We've beat all the bad. To me, it's mediocrity. And if some fans are fine with that, if you're fine with winning 8 games every year, but we're never going to accomplish anything because we're playing mediocre football and we can't get over the hump to get a good win like every other coach in our history, if you're fine with that, then okay, good for you. I'm glad you're happy. I'm not, because I've watched in my lifetime WVU take with guys like Rich Rod and Stu and Dana and take and play teams that everybody else in the country thinks going to beat us and get that win. And Neil Brown can't do that. He can't. And for me, it's not enough, because big whoop. Okay, so we won 8 games. Well, if we go down what you and I are thinking right now, 7 games regular season. First off, that's a step back from last year with what's supposed to be his best team in his 6 years here. When Dana's best team got 8 wins, we let him walk, and he wasn't good enough.
Let him walk?
We let him walk.
He didn't want to be here.
He wanted to be here.
There was no keeping him anyway. He didn't think he could win here. He didn't think he could recruit here. Dana did not want to be here.
Dana would thrive right now with this portal crap and how it works.
You don't see him coaching. Nobody wants Dana.
Nobody wants to play at Houston, except kids that live in Houston. Who wants to play in Houston? Nobody wants to go there. The problem is he thought he could go down there and pull all these kids from different parts of Texas to Houston.
Hell no.
Exactly. Why do you want to go down there and play at Houston when you got Texas or Texas Tech or TCU? You got all these other great schools.
Hell, you got SMU. That's laying it out there.
Big Pony Energy. You know what though? I gotta say. I mean, they're ponies.
I think they just scored 20 minutes ago on Pitt again.
You know what, man?
And then we shit the bed against Pitt. SMU takes it behind the shed, and out of all the teams, they lose to Virginia. You don't lose to West Virginia. You lose to Virginia, who is awful. Yeah. And my goodness, what? There you go, Narducci.
Narducci. That's what
Anyway.
Go ahead.
What else you got?
Well, what do you know? I got home and I heard some rumors of this while I was over across the pond and everything. What's your thought on the whole billboards around Morgantown? How do they look? I know you've seen them.
Ridiculous.
You don't like them?
Who are you proving a point to?
It's not really about the proving the point. I mean, Neil Brown's proven the point for these guys that have called themselves the Wolfpack. Neil Brown's proven the points for them. You know, I mean, we don't need to. Yeah, there you go. We don't need to go over all the stats that make Neil Brown
okay.
You know, 3-18 versus ranked teams, not being ranked in 6 years. We all know it. Blah blah blah.
You want to hear my thoughts on the billboard?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm mad. I'm going to give my $25 to this Wolfpack organization and whatever they call themselves, and I'm going to be part of this Neil Brown bring down, and I'm going to have them put billboards up and right where he has to drive by him, and right by where when Baker has to drive by him, and the players drive by him. And sir, I'm the one. I paid $25 to be part of that. You loser. You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
If you donated $1 or $25,000 to do something like that because you think you need voice, you're a child. You deserve to be taken out of the restaurant by your ear.
Come on now.
You're a dipshit. That proves nothing. It proves nothing. Put your name on. If you want. Put your name. Don't buy tickets. You want to be shown and tell him and show him? Don't show up. That's what proves I don't care about you or what's going on with your program. Don't show up.
Don't you worry. I know plenty of people that aren't planning to show up next year.
I'll buy your tickets.
You ain't buying shit. I support it. I like it. Okay. I think it's not about trying to convince Neil to resign, and it's not about trying to convince Wren to fire him. It's simply the people have spoken. Essentially, that's what it is, man. It is essentially like, hey, this is how we're feeling about this, and we're just going to put it out there. I don't think there's a problem with it. You got all these people that are talking, oh my God, these billboards are disgraceful. You know what else is disgraceful? Neil Brown's tenure for 6 years here. That's pretty damn disgraceful if you ask me. Let's be honest here, not even being ranked. And then the one leg people have to stand on. Well, we were ranked at the end of the year coaches poll.
Oh, my.
If that's the leg you got to stand on, it's a damn weak leg. Because guess what? Yeah. The coaches that vote in that don't give a damn about any other football team but their own. As a matter of fact, I read where and heard this from a person that The say GAs, say some, who of it the, is. Some of the I'm... coaches, some of the coaches let their GAs vote in it for them because that's how little of a crap they give about the end of the year coaches poll. So don't come to me saying, well, we were ranked in the end of the year coaches poll. That's something. No, it's not.
So I'm going to tell you what right now. If I hear a rumor, I'll tell you it's a rumor. I listen to other podcasts, and you guys, some of y'all, I'm just saying, and I will say names on here. Some of y'all are punks. I'm just saying that right now with this whole
let's keep it professional.
My source this, my source that for clickbait and whatever. We have it on our little thing that it says real fans, real talk. We're not throwing rumors. If I hear something, I'm gonna tell you exactly who I heard it from or whatever, because your source and half of it's bullshit. On top of that, some of these other podcasters,
Nick Saban's not coming to coach WVU next year.
That's not real.
Oh damn,
son of a bitch. yeah.
Now I'm mad.
But anyway, it's one of the things like if. Just say what you need to say. If you upset somebody, but you're not going to see it out of me anyway. I've known C. Ray for a long ass time, and I don't think we're gonna hear stuff out of him that's not true. Now, some things we hear might be bullshit, and you might not agree with it, but it is what it is. But this whole Wolfpack and the billboard thing, and I'm not one to say it is what it is. It's ridiculous.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it, man. I think it's funny. I don't see anything wrong with it. I
don't think it hurts anything.
I mean, it's definitely not hurting anything. And all these people saying, well, his kids have to see that. You don't think his kids are probably at school getting some crap?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be real.
My daddy says your daddy sucks.
Your daddy's also making $4 million a year to not win.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Dry your eyes with your $100 bills when you get home today.
Yeah.
And that's
my daddy goes to work because he's got a job to do, and he don't do his job, his daddy gets fired. So that's where your daddy better start doing his job, because they're gonna fire him. But we don't fire at WVU. He's not going nowhere. He's going to, you know what I'm saying? Now the seat gets really hot. His seat gets, it gets really, really hot. But he just throws a little bit of water on it, sets his ass back down. But he's going to hold on to his job.
Let me ask a question.
And I believe that.
Is there any scenario where you see him getting fired this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Last three. If he goes 0-3.
That's it. So you think
a bowl game keeps his job.
So 6-6. Now wait a minute, a bowl win?
No, a bowl
or
game.
Just making a bowl game.
Bowl game.
So
bowl
you game. Think you think if we go 6-6, which I think is the most likely scenario.
This year.
I think
go ahead.
Yeah. I think you and I both agree Texas lost. I think we drop one of the next two. Be it this weekend at Baylor or UCF. I think we drop one of those. I just don't think we're not going to win four in a row. He hasn't done that in 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think we can. Me personally, the most likely scenario that I think is going to happen is 6-6. Mm-hmm. Don't know who we're going to get in the bowl. So you really can't say we're going to lose a bowl. You don't know who we're going to get.
Right.
And depending on who we get, you don't know who's going to sit out of that game. It's like last year at UNC, they sat 12 guys. Now, I still think we win at UNC last year, but I don't think it's as easy as it was. Anyway, 6-6 in a bowl game. To me, that is not acceptable, because at that point, what you have proven is, hey, guys, we're going to have one good year every 5 years. That's what it looks like.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
But you think 6-6, he's safe.
He's safe.
Man,
this year.
Sad.
This year. Because the way the money is the only reason. And that's bullshit. That's a bad reason. It really is. But a bowl game saves him, gets him through 25. Next year, I hate to say, next year, but next year, 7, he's fired. But I just believe it. Until we fire besides for a defensive coordinator that deserved to be fired, until we fire a head coach, I'm just saying that's where that's the game we're in right now. And we don't pay coaches to go away. We barely pay them to stay here, you know? So, until I'm proven wrong, that's where I'm going to, that's where I'm going to cast my stone. So
I got something else for you.
And I'm not happy with mediocrity, by the way. I think that's where we're at right now, by the
way. Right.
You know,
You've made the comment many a times, Lanny, that you get what you pay for. We pay $4 to $6 million for a coach. We're getting our wins.
Mm-hmm.
Every coach that we've had in the last 20 years has been paid between $4 and $6 million. Some of them have been paid less.
Mm-hmm.
They've all managed to get more than Neil Brown has. So do you think we just hired Neil Brown trying to do the same thing we've always done and it backfired on us?
Yes. Yes. Hmm. They've tried to hire lightning in a bottle, you know, right. And you're just not getting the win totals that other coaches has earned.
Also, you know? Somebody does want Holgorsen. He just got hired at Nebraska as an offensive consultant. Okay.
The guru to the stars, you know? So yeah. Watch out. That Nebraska's quarterback's going to, light it up.
You know what?
Light it up the next 4 weeks.
So. Let me tell you something. People can say what they want. And I'm not necessarily advocating to bring Dana back, because as much as I did like Dana, I don't think anybody out there can deny that WVU football was more fun with Dana. Because at least every time we stepped on a field with him as our coach, I thought we had a chance to win. I never had the doubt that I do now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay.
I agree. You know, I do agree. I do agree with you.
There
was a chance we might score 100 damn points.
You're right. I mean, you're right.
There's a chance we might win that game 101-99. I mean.
Yeah, right. You're right.
That's what it was. But he didn't want to be here, and we all knew that. And he was going to use this as a stepping stool. You know, and that's what West Virginia's at. Coach that comes here is going to use this as a stepping stool to an extent.
I wish Neil would use it as a stepping stone. Sorry. All right, let's get on this Baylor stuff.
Yep.
We got Baylor coming to town this weekend, 4 p.m. kickoff.
I dig it.
I'm not upset about it. It's going to be kind of a night game. It's going to be dark an hour after the game starts. So, you know, kind of fun. They got Sawyer Robinson. Like I said, you know, he's not any kind of world beater. He's good against bad defenses, though.
Who?
Sawyer Robinson.
Who? It doesn't matter what his name is. Damn. So, anyway. Yeah.
Walked right into that one. got a lot more touchdowns, a lot less picks than Green does. Who some think might be back this week. I haven't heard anything definitively.
Well, I guess rumor has it that he's had his 17th concussion and he's out the rest of the damn year, and that he's just wearing a uniform to fit in with everybody else.
That's true, man.
Rumor has it. My sources say.
You know, I saw him on the.
My buddy, that's radiologist on the third floor of my. You know, Jesus. Anyway. It will be interesting. But I'm telling you what, if he is cleared to play, he will be the starter, because that is Neil Brown's boy.
Well, and you know what, man? That's another thing that bothers me. This loyal to a fault crap, okay? Because, you know, how many times have you seen JT Daniels as a prime example? He gets injured at USC. Was it USC where he started?
Oh, he was like plexiglass, dude.
I can't remember now.
USC.
Okay, USC is where he started. And he was a good quarterback there. He put up some good numbers. He gets injured. Guy comes in that's better than him. He loses his job. Goes to Georgia. Plays pretty well there. I remember the year he came, my wife and I were on a cruise, and we were talking to some Georgia fans. And they were like, you know what, man? Like, you guys got a good one. JT Daniels, he's a good quarterback. We loved him. It's just I can't remember the kid's name that came in and replaced him. But, you know, he just came in and took a spot from him. But then you got Neil Brown. Well, I don't think anybody deserves to lose their job because they're injured. You know what? If you get somebody that comes in and does better and carries you to wins, are you going to put the guy back in that threw two picks in the first half at Kansas State? Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, and this isn't me necessarily advocating for Nico. It would be whoever this backup quarterback would be that has played the last two games. You got to go with the hot hand. But you're right. If Green is cleared, he will be the starter.
He will be the starter. Yeah.
Who knows?
And the first time he drops back and throws a ball to guys' feet or sails it over their head for an interception, the boo birds are going to come out. And I, like I said, they're students, but I will boo somebody that's getting paid. And
they're not students anymore. They are.
Yeah. But these amateur professionals that are wearing uniforms out there, I will boo your ass.
I'm sorry.
Because you're getting paid. And the first time that he sails one, throws one, and it's bad. I'm saying if it's bad, my eye's bad, I will boo your ass. You know, because I think Nico spends it. You know, I think Nico is a better quarterback. Now, he's not a better running back that can throw the ball like Green is.
No, but he is, in my opinion, just as effective. It's a very different style of running.
It is.
But he gets it with his feet too.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, Baylor coming in. Like I said, 50-50 game to me. I did give us the win, but I gave us the win in a close one.
75-25 me. And I give us the win. I give us the win. We hold on again.
I say 28-27 us.
I say 37-31 us.
Okay. Here's my thing. Nico throws three touchdowns and we run two in. Or wait. No, two touchdowns. Nico throws for two and we run two in.
I think we have a big day. When I say big day, I'm talking huge, huge trumpet. huge day on the ground. I think we run for like 230 on them. I'm talking run it down their throat. And he throws for two, throws an interception. We get something funky like a bad snap that works out for us on one of their field goal attempts or something. And gets a little weird at the end the way I like it. And we win by 31. Yeah.
Okay.
37-31. Final.
Giving us a 6-point win. All right. Well, you guys heard it here. We both think we're going to win this weekend. Now, can we talk for just a minute about the basketball team?
Yeah.
It's only two games in, and I am not one of those guys that's beating the drum. We're going to win the Natty this year. No. Mm. But, boy, does this team look way different than the team we started the season with last year. And don't get me wrong. I know it's very much a different team. And they're out of conference cupcake teams, but for only two games in, man, they're looking good. Like, we got some guys that can legit shoot.
We got some guys
that are legit throwing down, man. Some of these dunks have been vicious on the rims. Like, and I'm here for it. Like, I'm excited for basketball. Last year, I think we all can agree, was kind of a meh. We knew what it was.
Yeah.
But I'm legit excited. I mean, I think the big weakness we have right now is rebounding. You know, we played two games, and
we don't got no height. We don't have a seven foot guy that can get in there and get the rebounds.
We don't have an athletic
6'10" protector. You know.
Yeah.
If we did, I mean, we might, but they haven't put him in yet. So I don't know. I like the hustle, man. Hustle, bustle, up and down the court.
The ball movement's great. The ball movement, man. They've got them.
It seems like at any point they can attack the rim, or at any point you're shooting a 30-foot jumper.
It's nice to see something other than a motion offense. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. We all love Huggy Bear, but my God, like it's nice to see.
Yeah, it was slow motion offense. It's way different coaching styles.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, DeVry wants to get at it, get up the court, let's run. But then we're going to run our offense. And it's a mixed match offense, back cuts, you know, screens. And, you know, it's it's just, it's different to see. It's almost beeline-ish, you know, to an extent. It's a little more athletic beeline-ish, and that's what Creighton did. That's what Creighton did. That's what Drake did. That's his, that's where he came from, and that's what we're going to see out there.
So
a little bit more set and a little, you know, and it's going to be athletic basketball. And I think he could build something here.
Yeah, I do too. So, all right, you know, year zero, essentially. I think we all agree that, you know, any coach's first year is a year zero. You're not really going to hold anything against them. What expectations do you have, if any, where new guy looking pretty good through the first two games, but, you know, out of 30-game schedule, you can't really tell anything. We're out of conference. We're playing cupcakes. What's an acceptable year?
I would
first year here.
Oh, first year, if he can make – If you can make the tournament, the big dance, I'm not saying win the Big 12, you know, but you finish in the middle of the pack. The Big 12 is nasty, dude. There's like five teams in the top 11 or something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're nasty.
So if you finish, if you're like, huh, we finished midway through the Big 12, I'll take it. I will definitely take that.
Yeah.
So if you can muck it up a little bit, and you know what I'm saying, win a couple here, win a couple there, and you can make it as a number 12 seed, you know what I'm saying, in the dance, and you're dancing, you know, you're not the playing game, you know, but you're actually dancing and giving you, so you're saying we got a chance. Guess what? You might win six in a row, win a natty. It's not going to happen, but you got a chance. You don't have just as good as
a chance. You have a chance.
But hey, you're playing in the big dance your first year, and that'd be great. That'd be great to start it off.
I think that's a little higher than what I have set. For me, I mean, I really look at this and I'm like, hey, if you can finish one game above 500 first year here, you finish 500 or better, you know, maybe you win a game or two in the Big 12 championship. Maybe you're a thought, maybe you're on the bubble to get in, you know. Hey,
18 wins in the Big 12, you're dancing.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I think the future is right now looking pretty bright for our basketball teams, both of them. And the women's, they've started out pretty good too. I mean,
those girls are nasty,
dude. Last night was nasty. Yesterday,
hey,
nasty. When you play, was it yesterday or Friday night? Whatever day it was, they won by like 40 something.
Yeah, hey, dude. When the women get off the visiting team bus, they don't even shut it down. They just keep it run. They just keep it warm because they know that those females about to get on that warm bus with taking an L out of Morgantown by beating a 30. Our girls are Kellogg. Oh, he's serving up more. he's serving up more than breakfast. So, yeah,
this lady, come on, man. Oh. You're cornier than a cornflake, man. God, we're nasty people. Oh, God. All right, guys. Well, we're sorry we're a little long, but being 2 weeks off, we had some stuff we wanted to get in. So we appreciate all you guys out there. Thank you guys for listening. Y'all know where you can find us on the YouTube, on the Apple, on Spotify, and it's all ear to ear. Just type it in, look it up. If you can't find it, come to the Twitter, give us a follow, and ask us where we can find you. We can give you all the links. And everybody, have a good week.
Hey, y'all. Hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.